Historians have long appreciated the critical role that Louis Howe played in helping Franklin Delano Roosevelt recover from polio and win the presidency in 1931. But as Julie M. Fenster explains in her new book, FDR's Shadow, Franklin's assistant and advisor was also responsible for pushing Eleanor into the political fray and was a force behind much of her public and private success. The book is published by Palgrave Macmillan. I'm very pleased that it brings Julie Fenster to our show today. Hello.
Oh, hello.
Many people may not realize that Franklin Delano Roosevelt had known Louis Howe for years before he contracted polio. How had they met?
Franklin Roosevelt was a state senator up in working in Albany. He was determined to make a big splash in Albany politics and actually attacked the machine, probably went too far too quickly, and a lot of people predicted he had no political future. But Louis Howe believed in him from the first. He thought, yeah, he's a little rough, a little ambitious, but I think I can do something with this new state senator.
But on the surface, didn't they seem an unlikely pair?
In as much as Franklin Roosevelt was all confidence, all very wealthy, we know that, very charismatic, and Louis Howe was anti-charismatic. He could really, you know, make enemies before he said a word. He was just a very quiet kind of presence.
His father had owned a newspaper in Saratoga near Albany, where he was born. So I guess it was natural that he would become a reporter. Didn't he make use of his access to politicians as a journalist to become more directly involved in politics?
To some degree, but a lot of politicians didn't want to take Louis under their wing. Louis had needs, and so it was kind of a full-time job to take Louis on. You weren't so much hiring him as adopting him.
You were aware of the fact that he was a needy person from the start.
I think so, and that was something the Roosevelt family was capable of, giving him what he needed.
Because they saw the trade-off as being worth their while?
I'm not sure I would, say that it happened that quickly, but they needed him as much as he needed them.
And we'll see just how much he was willing to give. It's quite extraordinary.
Yeah.
Early in his career, before he met FDR, Howe had attached himself to another New York politician, Thomas Osborne. What did he do for Mr. Osborne?
Well, Osborne was from Auburn, New York, and had a lot of ambition himself. He was also, I could compare him to Franklin Roosevelt in a way. He came from a wealthy family. He was very handsome, attractive man, and had a good liberal agenda. So on all of those counts, Louis Howe thought, maybe I can do something with this guy. Maybe I can help him. But Thomas Osborne just didn't want the full-time advice of a guy like Louis Howe. He was not willing to become partners, so to speak, in forging a career.
Well, there was a kind of a single-minded devotion that Louis Howe was willing to give. And you get the feeling he attached himself to these handsome politicians, that he developed some kind of a crush, even if it was just an intellectual crush on them.
Well, it certainly wasn't, anything, I don't think, in terms of his living vicariously through Franklin Roosevelt's, good looks, but he recognized that any politician needs that kind of charisma, and I guess I would kind of sidestep Louis Howe's feelings about the physical attractiveness of these guys and just say, I think that was part of the marketable quality that he was looking for.
When did he begin working for FDR, and what was his first job?
His very first job was in the 1912 Senate re-election that Franklin Roosevelt was going to have a tough road to hoe because of the enemies he'd made so early in his political career. And not only that, but he fell ill. Franklin Roosevelt was confined to his bed and could not do any campaigning at all. So Louis Howe was his surrogate, hired at a small fee to wage a campaign, and by God, he succeeded. Franklin Roosevelt was reelected against all predictions.
Well, he had great political connections because he was a reporter. He's one of those people today we'd say he had a great Rolodex.
That's exactly right. And I think if only the computer age had come a little earlier, he would have had email lists that would have been the envy of the world.
Didn't he go with Roosevelt to Washington, D.C. when Woodrow Wilson appointed him Assistant Secretary of the Navy in 1913?
Yeah, Louis Howe had the...
He traveled with him?
Well, they went down to Washington. Louis Howe had the kind of tongue-twisting title of Assistant to the Assistant to the Secretary of the Navy. But he moved down to Washington, and with both families lived near each other.
But Howe was married by then.
Yes.
And he had a wife and children. Did they move down to Washington, too?
Yeah. At this stage, they did. Louis Howe had a daughter and a son. And for the first time, he had a lot of financial security. So the Washington years, I think, were some of the happiest he knew.
And Howe's work for the Navy attracted the attention of executives at the New England Oil Company, and they offered him a job.
Yeah. Can you imagine you go from a fellow that was just barely making a living as a freelance reporter to being offered something on the order of $25,000 a year, which was a fortune in 1920, to become an oil executive?
But he turned it down.
Yeah. Well,
what reasons did he give?
He actually was about to accept it. In deference to his wife, who would have liked to have a nice non-political way of life. And then they were at Campobello Island in August 1921, and Franklin Roosevelt, of course, was stricken, and obviously in extremis, and Louis Howe made the decision to turn down the big job and to move in with the Roosevelts. To help his friend.
Well, he'd already helped him on his first national campaign, hadn't he?
Yeah, to some degree he had a role in the vice presidential campaign, 1920.
And James Cox?
Yeah, James Cox was the presidential candidate. Not many people remember that, Leonard. But the best thing that came out of that campaign, I must say, was his friendship with Eleanor. That was a
well, after
big
the election, Roosevelt and Howe briefly went their separate ways, but then he was the first person Eleanor called when her husband developed the first symptoms of polio.
Yeah. He was, by then, best friends with Franklin, of course, and very, very good friends with Eleanor. By this time, as you know, most of you know, the Roosevelt marriage was troubled. And Eleanor was feeling such a feeling of, you know, low self-esteem. And one of the people who helped her immensely was Louis Howe. He picked her up and gave her back her confidence.
But he also jumped into nursing FDR with Eleanor.
Yeah, yeah.
He slept in FDR's room, changed catheters, administered enemas, because Franklin, at this point, was largely paralyzed. Was he aware that polio is highly contagious? I mean, that's how FDR got it, as an adult.
Right. Yeah. Both Eleanor and Louis had to step in and do that kind of physical nursing until a professional nurse was brought in, and they didn't shrink from any of it.
And Howe advised Eleanor and the Roosevelt children not to speak publicly about how sick FDR was?
Yeah, I'll tell you, Louis Howe, you know, he loved Franklin Roosevelt as a friend, but he never took his eye off the ball, even seeing his friend, paralyzed at one point from basically the shoulders down.
Which surprised Eleanor. She was surprised on how focused he was on FDR's political future, even during the darkest days of the illness.
Exactly. And yet he knew his friend well enough to know that without that political goal, Franklin Roosevelt was probably going to drift and not in the right direction.
My guest is Julie M. Fenster, whose previous book is The Case of Abraham Lincoln. And now she has written FDR's Shadow, Louis Howe, The Force That Shaped Franklin and Eleanor Roosevelt. It's published by Palgrave Macmillan. He also
urged Eleanor to stay married to Franklin after she learned that he'd had an affair with Lucy Mercer.
I think that Louis was a Victorian gentleman. He didn't believe in divorce, and he felt that it would certainly put an end to Franklin Roosevelt's presidential aspirations.
Well, after he contracted polio, Sarah, his mother, wanted him to move to Hyde Park and give up politics. If Howe hadn't been advising Roosevelt, do you think that he might have given in to his mother's wishes?
Well, you know, I kind of defend his mother a little bit. I figure that she really knew best that he needed a rest. He needed a break. I'm not sure she meant for Franklin to retire forever from the world, but at least for a few years. And so I'm kind of a defender of Franklin Roosevelt's mother. Most mothers would have probably said the same thing. But without that constant drumbeat from Louis Howe, I believe that Franklin, of his own accord, might well have been distracted by his many hobbies. You know, he loved his hobbies and could have...
And also he wasn't feeling as physically fit as he had before.
Well, he had set his mind on, of course, walking again. And so for at least three years, that really was his full-time, you know, occupation. And it could have perhaps gone on forever if Louis Howe hadn't kind of engineered ways to gently suggest that Franklin give up on walking of his own accord.
He moved into the Roosevelt's New York City apartment.
Yeah, I think that's extraordinary. I can't think of another example in history where someone does something so selfless.
And never lived apart from them again?
Not really.
Even when they moved into the White House?
Oh, he had a room in the White House of his own. Yeah, he came with them to the White House. It's such a selfless act, as I say. You know, of course he had his own needs. Of course he had ambitions that he was, you know, living through the Roosevelts. But I think that what he gave up was his own family life.
And I would have thought that other people would have thought it odd that a grown man with a family of his own would move in with another married couple.
Yeah. I one of the things about the Roosevelts that's so, I guess, intriguing now and forever is that they could do things that other people would have, you know, would have shrank away from. It was natural for them, and it worked, to have people move in with them. After Louis Howe kind of set the template, there were a couple of other people who moved in and were part of the family.
And what was happening to his marriage?
His marriage was troubled, I guess, for at least a half dozen years before he moved in. I think he would have, without the Roosevelts, stayed with his wife. He loved her. He adored her. The feelings on the other side were more complicated, and she was kind of rejecting him.
Wasn't she a descendant of Lizzie Borden?
Well, a cousin. She ended up, Mrs. Howe was Grace Grace Hartley Howe. She was a cousin of the Borden, fame Lizzie Borden, and inherited the Borden fortune.
But not the axe, I hope. It was when FDR was recovering from polio that Howe pushed Eleanor to get involved in politics. How interested had she been in politics before that?
She really was interested only in sort of charitable community ways. You know, when that touched on politics, she was interested. But she became an active part of the Democratic Party in New York State. And my favorite trivia question is a Roosevelt was very nearly nominated at the New York State Democratic Convention of 1922. Who was it? And it was Eleanor. She was touted for office then.
And was she thinking along those lines? Women had just gotten the vote in 1920.
Yes, she actually was not thinking along those lines, but she became independent of her husband. She became a major force in Democratic politics in New York State.
And he encouraged her to take up public speaking as well.
Louis Howe, yeah. Louis Howe had a little bit of an amateur theatrical background. And one of the ways that he helped Eleanor was to bring out her public persona. The Eleanor that we all know so well as a citizen of the world was, if not created, it was at least brought forth by Louis Howe.
So Roosevelt, FDR, runs
for governor in 1928, governor of New York, and then runs for president in 1931. And Howe is behind all of this?
Howe actually thought some of it was premature. I think on his timeline, Roosevelt was going to run for president in 36, but certainly he supported it all and was, you know, one of the two people that Roosevelt thanked for making him president.
Is he the equivalent of the James Carville and David Plouffe?
You know, I'd like to, yeah, or David Axelrod or someone. I guess if I were to say that, I'd have to name about 10 people to make one Louis Howe in the life of a politician. He embodied so many roles.
So he moved into the White House,
yeah,
with the Roosevelts. And how long did he live there?
Well, from, you know, there when they moved in 33 until his death in 36.
So he actually, according to his timetable, Roosevelt would have run in 36. He might not have lived to see that.
He didn't. It's, you know, kind of touching that he was making plans even from his deathbed for the campaign. And again, to come back to Eleanor, because the two-term tradition was in place, Louis Howe assumed that Roosevelt would not run again in 1940, and he had plans to run Eleanor.
Did Howe have any impact on the development of the New Deal?
Yeah. Oh, yes. He was a proponent of the Civilian Conservation Corps. He believed in getting rural people to work and was constantly pushing for employment, especially for the rural poor.
So he's one of the advisors that we hear less about.
Right. There are other people who were responsible for specific legislation, but Louis Howe was sort of a general advisor for Roosevelt.
Julie M. Fenster will be at the New York Historical Society tonight at 6:30. That's at West 77th Street. For details and ticket information, go to our show page at WNYC.org. The book, FDR's Shadow, Louis Howe, The Force That Shaped Franklin and Eleanor Roosevelt, is published by Palgrave Macmillan. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you very much.